This is Free Talk Live, and that's a really low music bed from the network there. There it is. There it is. All right, so 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. We are here to take your phone calls about whatever's on your mind. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Meg.
And Mark.
And you can join us at 800-259-9231 online at freetalklive.com, where you can actually create the content for the website. The stuff that you see in the main column of the site is all created by listeners like you. So when you're surfing around, you can submit different things that you like to our website, and then other listeners will vote up or vote down on whether they like or dislike your suggestion. And the most voted up make it to the front page. So get interactive over at freetalklive.com.
Quick introduction for people who haven't heard Meg before. Meg, you do some video work for Liberty organizations. You previously worked with OTN. Now you're out on your own. Anything else you want to say about your work for Liberty?
I have my website, libertyflare.com.
LibertyFlare?
Yeah.
There you go.
For the nerds out there, they'll understand what those are.
If you've seen Office Space, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Flare the stuff they give away on Facebook?
I have no idea, but it looks kind of the same. So, yeah, I'll say yes.
So, yeah, Meg was just on Sunday night on the She Talk Live edition that we had.
Yeah, had a lot of fun.
Our radio listeners don't get that show yet. Maybe someday that'll be made available for radio, but at this time it's internet only. So our number here is 800-259-9231. Jumping right into your calls, your thoughts. We go to Kurt in Michigan on the amp lines to start things out. Hello, Kurt.
Hi, Meg. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Super. Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Libertations.
Good. I'd like to talk about stolen property. I was listening to the show from 2 days ago, and a gentleman called in about whether or not land can be owned as property. And away from that discussion, during it, Mark said that, you know, maybe use the example, if he purchased a watch that was stolen from, you know, if you purchase a stolen watch from Ian, would it be incumbent upon him to return that watch? And then said, no, it would not. And I totally disagree with that.
A lot of people do. And so make your point, and I will rebut.
Okay. I don't believe that ownership just comes with the exchange of money. I believe it comes with the chain of custody as well. Ian cannot sell something that does not belong to him. And just because you purchased it from him does not mean that it now belongs to you. It is incumbent upon you to return that watch to its rightful owner if the chain of custody can be laid out, and then your beef is with Ian. You don't play that off on the person who had their watch stolen and say, well, your beef is with Ian. This watch is mine.
And I have to disagree because I've done my due diligence. Normally when I buy something from someone, it's a reasonable expectation that other person is selling it. Now, if you're buying, you know, hey, you want to buy this Rolex for, you know, real cheap, then you might wonder about whether or not it's hot. But if you've done your due, you know, if all things sort of...
So all I have to do is sell my stolen property for market value and I'm indemnified?
If I want to buy it, yeah, absolutely. And here's the point. The point is that so many things in this world have been owned previously, and that your system is, whether or not leaving the morality of it all out. And I think we could argue all day long.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's all about morality.
Agreed, but it doesn't work. Do you understand?
It does.
No, it doesn't, because there's bits and pieces of everything everywhere. For instance, suppose I have some kind of museum piece. As a matter of fact, I've got some ancient coins I got from trustedcoin.com. And I can tell you, Kurt, some of your ancestors at one point owned these coins.
Can you establish that line of ownership? Can I just say, well, since I know my ancestors did own some coins, and those are some coins from that time frame, they're mine.
If you can establish a line of ownership, does that still mean that because some ancestor, somebody in the past stole those coins from your ancestors, that somehow I'm obligated to give them
to you? I don't think it's fair to bring in a timeline into this. I think we need to keep the discussion in the current, where someone has stolen something today, and look at how that works.
The owner is still alive and standing there saying,
so, Kurt, let me run something by you.
To me.
Let me run something by you here and see what you say to it, because I see where you're both coming from on this. So let's say that something is stolen from you, Kurt, and Mark did the stealing. So then Mark sells that item to me, and I sell it to Meg. Now, Meg's left town at this point. She was going to leave, and she really wanted whatever that item was, that watch. So she took it with her. I don't know where she is. Who's responsible to make you whole?
Well, if I know that Meg has that watch, well, first off, if my insurance company makes me whole, then that would be acceptable. But
okay.
If I know Meg has the watch, I know it's mine. I know it was stolen from me. I can prove that it's mine. Then I would be able to reclaim that watch from Meg. Her beef.
But you've already. But wait a minute.
Beef,
right. Wait a minute. What about the thief? What about the guy that stole the watch from you? What about Mark in this case?
Do you just want
your watch back? I mean, is that what it's all about? It's about that one thing that you want to get back? You don't care if Mark gives you $500 as restitution, you still want to get the watch back?
Well, it would depend upon the watch. I mean, uh-huh. If it was given to me by my now-dead mother, then yes, I'd want the watch back.
Right, but I am the one who harmed you. Meg is not. Meg isn't responsible for doing anything for you, Kurt. She didn't harm you.
And she should be made whole by the person who defrauded her.
You're taking something from her. You're saying that somehow she's done something wrong. You've got no right to take something that she owns.
She's the possessor of stolen property at that point. That's wrong?
Kurt? Everything you've got's stolen. Do you understand that? The bits of something of everything that you have is stolen. The land you live on, the car you drive, the steel in the car you drive was at one point or another stolen from someone, whether it was from an American Indian who made a bad deal with a Dutch settler.
A bad deal is not stealing.
What's that?
A bad deal is not stealing.
Oh, it is if you don't understand. If there's no meeting of the minds, when you have Indians making deals for Manhattan for a few beads, not understanding land ownership in the same way that
Manhattan
white settlers
back
do.
Manhattan back then was not what Manhattan is now. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Back then, it may have only been worth that.
But they didn't have the same understanding of land ownership. You have to have a meeting of the minds for a contract, Kurt.
So do I need to educate you before I make a contract?
Yes, absolutely.
So
if you're dealing with an alien with three eyes, yes, you need to establish what the concept of property ownership is.
We're off point here, though. I mean, several years ago, I purchased a used drum set.
Okay.
And as part of that used drum set, I got a really sweet set of 12-inch old Zildjian hi-hats, which sounded awesome. Now, upon inspecting them, I saw an engraving on there that said Athens HS. Well, there happens to be a high school around my house called Athens High School. Now, I called that high school, and I got a hold of the music director, and I told him, I'm in possession of these hi-hats, and I'll be more than happy to turn them over to you because I don't want to be the recipient of stolen goods. He told me that it wasn't going to be an issue. So my conscience is clear, but the offer, I believe, once you realize that property is stolen and the chain of custody can be traced to the rightful owner, that person deserves their property back.
Now, if I purchase these Zildjian hi-hats for, what did you say? It was a thrown-in deal. So if I purchase stolen Zildjian hi-hats with some level of antiquity to them for $200, and then you come along and you say, hey, my Zildjian hi-hats, you can show me a picture, you can, maybe your name, you've got some little code phrase engraved on the bottom or something like that. And you can prove to me without a shadow of a doubt, do I have to give them to you, or are you going to compensate me my $200?
That's not my – that's again, I didn't take your $200. I was the victim of a crime.
You were the
victim.
Wait.
Just because you purchased those, you are now the victim of a crime by the person who sold them to you.
So
your beef is with him.
Part of this, Kurt, is the responsibility that somebody has to secure their own property. And I guess I'd have to ask you, what responsibility does a person have to secure their own property? Can you drive a convertible full of cash up to Main Street and park it with keys in it?
But that doesn't mean that somebody can't take something out of my home when I'm not there.
I'll tell you what, I want to come back and talk about it here because it's a good issue. And if you've got thoughts you want to share, 800-259-9231. More with Kurt and your calls as well at 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy all the features that we have there free. So head on over. You can grab archives. We go all the way back to late 2006, all free for you at freetalklive.com.
Have you ever considered taking your case to court without an attorney? Jurisdictionary.com is a course for people without a lawyer who must know what it takes in order to win, and for people with lawyers who want to minimize legal fees, maximize their winning by knowing what their lawyer should be doing. It works for both plaintiffs and defendants, costs less than an hour with any good lawyer, and it's so easy the average eighth grader can go through the complete 4-CD course in a single weekend. You can get it at jurisdictionary.com, and I've taken the course, and I do think that it's invaluable if you're going to be taking a case to court, and I would encourage you to do that, whether it's tickets or things like that, because all the talk in the world about fixing the system isn't going to fix it. Going to court, that can. It's jurisdictionary.com.
All right, we're talking with Kurt in Michigan, and he brings up what I think is a very interesting issue, the idea of stolen property and through how many hands can it pass? Can it pass beyond the thief's hands and still be considered stolen in that it somehow is able to be automatically reclaimed if the original owner comes back to with some sort of evidence that it's his to reclaim it even after it's been purchased. So, for instance, if I have something stolen from me by you, Mark, and then you just go ahead and sell it to Meg, can I somehow grab that back from Meg because it was mine? Essentially was Kurt's question so far. And I kind of wanted to get in Meg here into this conversation. I know that Kurt had called specifically to ask you because you brought up the issue originally on another show. But Meg, just how do you feel about this issue?
Oh, well, I've had like actual theft in my past, and I've had situations where I found my stolen property that had been sold on to a second person. And with me, it was my laptop, and so I had told this person who contacted me after checking it out that, you know, they recognized that it wasn't the person who was selling it. It was mine, and had my email address, so they contacted me. And I said, yeah, it's stolen, and I'd, you know, like to get it back, and I offered them reward for it. And they bought it from this guy intending to give it back to me, I guess, for this reward, and then I didn't hear from the guy for like a month. And so, you know, I did, in that case, want my property back from this guy who had purchased it from the original thief. And I intended to go after the thief as well with this guy so that we could both, you know, be made whole by what he took. But, you know, it's a difficult situation when it comes to that, because obviously if you find your property, you do want it back.
Sure you do. But it would seem to me the most appropriate way to go about it would be to approach the person who did not steal it, the person who was the recipient of that property, and make them an offer. Hey, look, you know, that was mine, and I'd really like to have it back, and this is what I'm willing to offer you. And it would seem that that you're getting that property back would not be a guarantee, right? You just have to make that person an offer, and they'd be have to willing to accept it. But what you could get would be guaranteed restitution, presumably if you knew who the thief was. So if I came after you, Mark, in this kind of free market world that we're talking about, and we went to arbitration.
Yeah, what's moral here? We're not talking about what the law says, because the law's messed up in a lot of ways. But I think that it has there's a basis in it, but we're talking about what's moral.
Right. So so I come after you, Mark, and you know I know who you are. I know you've got this laptop or whatever it was that's been stolen. And I say that, you know, it was really special to me. And if I can show that this was my grandmother's laptop and it really made, you know, a difference to me, that I should be compensated more than the average laptop or watch or whatever it is we're talking about here, then maybe the arbitrator will say, yeah, that was his grandmother's and there's a sentimental value to it, so you owe $2,000 instead of $400, right? You know, wouldn't that be the appropriate way to get yourself made whole? Because you can't guarantee you'll ever see that again. Maybe the grandma's watch was melted down by somebody. You know, and how far are you willing to go to try to get this thing back? This thing that has, you know, memories attached to it, but may have gone through 10 different hands at this point. How far are you? What are you willing to hire a private investigator to investigate and figure out where all of this, you know, where this property went?
Well, there's also the addition of the fact that, like, with my laptop, I work from my laptop, so I'm losing my work time when that's gone. And, you know, that could be a lot of money for me, depending on how long I go without it.
Right.
And so I need to be compensated for that as well.
Who should compensate you for that? If the person who receives the stolen property wipes the hard drive to install his own operating system on fresh, your data's gone. It's still your old laptop, but at that point it doesn't have the same value to it, right? Is the person who did the formatting, the person who received your stolen property, responsible for that?
Well, at any point it always comes down to the person who stole it. So.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's what I think we're all agreeing on here.
Yeah,
right?
Kurt is not agreeing on that.
No, we in the studio. Okay. Kurt is not. I want to bring Kurt back on now, having had that conversation. Your thoughts, Kurt?
Well, again, if that piece is whole and in its entirety, you should be able to have that piece back.
You should be, but does the person have an obligation? Does the person...
Absolutely they do.
How could they?
It's a moral obligation because they now know that it's stolen.
So,
and even though they were stolen, and they were stolen from as well, but not by the person who was originally had it stolen.
So, Kurt,
should not have to bear the loss of their property.
Kurt, you're talking about being reasonable here, and not everybody in the world, especially when they're dealing with somebody that they're going to have to give something of value to, if they act in a reasonable fashion, they're going to have to give something to. So, what, you know... I could come up to Ian and say, "Hey, give me that that money that you have in your wallet. I lost it. It's mine." And I could just be making something up. How does he know that he doesn't possess money that I lost at some point on the side of the road? He can't. I can't prove it.
There's no chain of custody there. If you can produce serial numbers, if you can produce serial numbers of the bills that are in his wallet. And proof that they were yours. But I mean, you're talking
about. But I can just come up with random numbers, right?
Hundreds of millions exist. If I borrow your car and then go out and sell it, the person who buys it got to give it back.
So
then I'm the one who stole the money that car represented.
If I'm lucky enough to guess the serial numbers, the bills in his wallet, I get to keep them? Is that what you're suggesting?
No.
What about the onus of possession that the original person has, the original possessor? If you, for instance, lose a briefcase full of $1 million on the side of the road, I'm walking down the road, I find the briefcase is $1 million. Because I'm walking, you have a reasonable idea that I'm not very good with money, and I go and take the $1 million. After I put it in the newspaper for a week, I say, I found an amount. Everybody guesses the amount. They don't guess $1 million, because who the heck would have $1 million in a briefcase? I then take the money to the racetrack, and I blow it on horses. Then you somehow or another... Then the newspaper story comes out. Man blows $1 million on the horse. On horses, I mentioned how I found the briefcase on the side of the road and what a great time I had getting drunk and the hookers and the horses and the
how
whole thing.
How do you prove that specific?
And then
that
you say
$1 million is yours.
I'm telling you.
Car. You
hold
can
on.
Prove
wait, Kurt. Listen to the rest of my story. Then you get a hold of me and say, "Hey, that was my $1 million." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm really sorry. I put it in the newspaper. I tried to find the person, and now the question is, and I don't deny it. I say, "Oh yeah, that must have been your $1 million. Sorry about that. Guess you didn't respond to the newspaper ad. Do I owe you $1 million?"
Finders
keepers, you know.
I don't. Finders keepers. So when you go to work, I can come and find your house.
I'm asking
your car.
You a question. Answer my scenario, Kurt, because somebody has lost a briefcase with $1 million in it before, and then somebody's found it and blown it on horses. Tell me, do I owe you $1 million?
Well, again, if you did not make the... If you didn't...
Hold on. It's your briefcase. It's your briefcase, Kurt. I'm not disputing it.
It's a big briefcase.
Yeah.
Can't fit $1 million in a briefcase.
You can put 100 in hundreds?
More coming up. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now. 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250 capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com.
But not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer special now at HerbalHealer.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
That sound could save your life. In our fast-changing world, you and your loved one may have limited time to escape dangerous nuclear radiation after a power plant accident, terror attack, or dirty bomb explosion. When that happens, you'll be glad you have Nuke Alert. More than just a radiation detector, Nuke Alert is a patented radiation monitor and alarm used nationwide by federal, state, and local first responders and the Department of Defense. Nuke Alert, attached to your keychain, is always with you and on 24/7 to promptly warn you of unseen but dangerously rising radiation levels. Nuke Alert incorporates a 10-year battery backed up by a 10-year warranty. See Nuke Alert in action at KI4U.com. That's K-I, the number 4, the letter U.com. When ordering anything at KI4U.com, type in GCN in the comment box at checkout and you'll get free two of their new just-released peel and stick rad sticker decimeters as a free bonus. Go to KI4U.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free. Bring up anything at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Joining you tonight is Ian.
And Meg.
And Mark.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there for free. So enjoy those on us, and those features include our bulletin board system. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners on our forum there over at bbs.freetalklive.com, bbs.freetalklive.com.
So do you want to know how to give your baby a head start? You can teach your baby, start teaching your baby to read at beginning as early as 3 months old. I'm not kidding you. It's easy and fun to do with the Monkey See, Monkey Do baby reading kit. The best part of it is it's risk-free since they offer a 1-year money-back guarantee. You order now, get free shipping. We did this program with my son, and I'm telling you, my 2.5-year-old can read all of his colors. Not just regular colors, the colors like indigo and all of his shapes. Octagon. He points out octagon. It's amazing. And your kid can read too. It's babyreadingkit.com. You can go there and see a video of, in fact, my son reading some stuff. Babyreadingkit.com.
We're back with Kurt in Michigan, who called in with what I thought was a very interesting issue of stolen property and what is and what is not appropriate, what is not moral as far as getting it back. Kurt, are you back with us?
I am.
Okay. So there was a question I had here because we're talking about the idea of, for instance, I'm stealing a watch from you and then I'm going to sell it to
Kurt
Mark.
Kurt didn't give me an answer on whether or not I owe him $1 million if he drops a briefcase,
thank you for that.
A briefcase full of money out of a window. I find it, then go to the racetrack and blow it off.
So if I drop it out of a window, I would assume that would mean that I don't care for it enough to
you accidentally dropped it. I mean, accidents happen,
right? How do
you
accidentally drop $1 million?
The same way you drop $1,
this,
dude.
This is totally in the realm of fantastical.
I'm telling you, somebody in this world...
We're talking about stolen property.
Sure.
We're talking
about actually,
property I did wonder why you brought this up, Mark.
That I lock up, that people come in, circumvent my security procedures, and take.
No, we're talking about...
We're not talking about, you know, me, you know, gallivanting around with $1 million.
We're talking about the onus of responsibility that the individual who possesses something has for keeping it safe. That's what I'm trying to point out.
Is everything that gets stolen from me because of my lack of due diligence?
To some extent, that's true. How much of the gold
so
from Fort Knox has been stolen?
For fear that somebody can rightfully repossess everything in my home?
I don't think it's right.
And I would have no claim against them?
I don't think it's right. I think you have a responsibility to secure the things that you want to keep.
Wait a minute. Kurt, you always have a claim against the thief. Nobody has said you don't have a claim against the thief. So here's my question for you, and you can come back to the other one, Mark. I don't think it was the best example because you went away from stealing and you just did something left on the side of the road. So my question is, if Mark steals the watch from you and then he sells it to Meg and you go after Mark in arbitration and you say, that was my grandmother's watch, it meant a lot to me, or my great-great-grandmother's watch, it meant a whole lot to me, and it might retail for this, but to me it was worth this. The arbitrator comes back and says, okay, $5,000 is fair. So then Mark owes you $5,000, or your insurance company, as you mentioned earlier, might pay that out if that was what the appropriate amount would have been for it.
Well,
the
arbitrator could just as easily say something to the effect, and bring Meg in and say something to the effect of, hey, you've got to give Kurt his watch back.
Well,
and
why? It's not her obligation.
I'm not talking about saying it to Meg. I'm saying it to me, the thief, and then I've got to do whatever it is that Meg wants in order for me to get that watch. If Meg says, oh, yeah, really? You got to have this watch, huh? Well, I guess that's going to be $5,000. I know I bought it for $500, but I really like this watch.
Right.
You know, and maybe she's going to say, yeah, and I need my lawn mowed every week for the next 10 years.
And if that were to happen, then Kurt would only get the restitution for the lost watch for however long that was. So it would be much less than $5,000 because Meg would get the money for the watch, and then Kurt, you would get less than that. What would work best for you, Kurt?
Well, I would get the watch plus whatever it cost me to take him into arbitration.
Probably
but
not.
I also think that there'd be an amount paid for deterrence.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I steal $10,000 from five people and only one person, you know, catches me, you know, that means I'm $40,000 to the good.
Sure,
and
right.
If I do steal, the worst I can possibly come out is to break even. Because, I guess I just have to give the money back.
I think the deterrence, of course.
Yeah, you need to get
compensated. I think the deterrence is in what the thief has to pay to the person who currently possesses the item. And but an arbitrator will figure all that out. I absolutely agree that there needs to be a level of deterrence. If instead you can't find the thieves, because thieves can be difficult to find, but you do find Meg and you bring her before the arbitrator, and the arbitrator says, yes, you must give this man his watch back. And at that point, Meg's been screwed twice by you, the person who goes in there and just takes her stuff that she did due diligence on. Wait, let me finish.
Anybody.
That she did due diligence on, and by me, the guy who sold her something that I didn't own. So
but that was her property at that point, Kurt. That's where this is all breaking down. I like
it's
Mark's suggestion of bringing in
stolen
Meg into...
Stolen property can never become the legal...
Well, then none of us own anything, right?
I'm telling you, Kurt, everybody owns stolen property.
And if you can trace back that lineage, that property line,
so you're telling
you
me
it's
absurd.
If you're telling me somebody can come up with Abernathy Indian blood, that they can come and legally take my property from me? Or
no.
Morally? Yes.
No.
That's
what you just said.
No, that's not what I just said.
What did you say?
If that person can specifically say, well, and follow it all the way through. So, again, I could just take your property, and as long as I can offload it quick enough, it's no longer yours.
I'm telling you that...
And then you just have to deal with, whatever.
Thieves! The guy who stole... I have to deal with the guy who stole my property, and that's what you have to deal with today.
Then I can make a business out of buying stolen property.
That's what they call it, a pawn shop, dude. For God's sake, there's businesses like that all over, and somehow people manage to survive. The world hasn't imploded from this.
No, that's because pawn shops are actually, at least here in Michigan, they are one of the very few people who don't have to just give up stolen property. They can charge the
rightful
owner.
There's a lot of stolen property in Concho.
But that's actual legislation.
Yeah, I really don't care about the legislation. I'm talking about the morality of it, Kurt. And I'm telling you that everybody, you've diverted from what I'm telling you, which is everybody owns stolen property. And if somebody who has Abenaki Indian blood can come to me and prove that they're Abenaki Indian or to a an arbiter of some sort, then they get to take my property back because it's known, it is a fact that Abenaki Indians likely had this this property jilted away from them in some way, shape, or form, then I've got to give it back?
Again, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where the chain of custody.
It is a chain of custody. I'm making a clear chain of custody.
You're going to name every specific person for the last 400 years that this guy has had in his bloodline to be able to get to that point?
I just need DNA, dude.
Is that possible?
I just need DNA. That's all. Is all you need to do is prove that you're Abenaki.
You have to prove that a specific person in your
lineage. No, the Abenakis lived in a commune,
like
dude.
It's like I'm of German heritage, and there's a
castle. It's not the same.
No,
in
Germany.
Personal
and I
property.
Can go and claim ownership of it because I have the same name.
No, that's personal garbage. Property. Personal property. The Germans had an entirely different way of owning property. Abenaki Indians owned things as a tribe, and if you can prove that you're a portion of this tribe who owns this thing. This land communally, and that this guy owns a piece of this land communally, then everybody who's inside that land needs to give it back because it was stolen.
Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you tonight, man. 800-259-9231.
What's absurd is victimizing a person who did their due diligence in purchasing an item two times by the person who steals it that previously owned it back from them without any kind of compensation.
Hey, I just bought the watch at a pawn shop.
Yep.
Right? That's not buying a stolen. It's not buying stolen goods. There's a difference between buying something that you don't know is stolen and buying something that you know is
stolen.
Somebody,
the person who did something wrong is the person who stole from you, not
that's
the person
right.
who possesses something that was taken from you at
no.
one point in your life.
No, I like
your ancestors, for God's sake.
Right. I liked your idea of bringing Meg into, you know, inviting her to come to this arbitration for the chance to sell this property back. I like that idea, but maybe Meg's not available. Maybe she doesn't want to sell this
maybe
property.
She doesn't. And that's where the onus.
What if she gave it to a little baby? Then you're going to take something from a little baby?
That's where the onus of protecting property that is yours comes in.
Yeah,
you're
I agree.
Responsible for protecting your own property.
Work on us. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
In 2010, you were fighting for your rights. In 2019, we are fighting for our lives.
The last illusions of economic stability have shattered, revealing the financial dystopia that lies beneath the surface. The Federal Reserve has run out of lies and out of time. Those who stand for liberty will right their wrongs or die trying. Get involved with the epic animated feature-length film, Silver Circle, at silvercirclemovie.com.
Just remember, when they control the money, they control everything.
Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door?
Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial in via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. By the way, I was wrong. $1 million can be fit into a briefcase.
I figured you could.
It's got to be close, though.
Yeah.
So apparently that is online. You can get that answer from the internet. Someone has asked and
just
answered that question. So yeah, 800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it is Ian.
And Meg.
And Mark.
We invite you to our website. You can enjoy the features there free. You don't have to sign up for a membership or anything like that. It's just free. But if you want, you can voluntarily support the show by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. You just enter Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage, a portion of the proceeds of the profits that Amazon would normally take all for themselves. So just start your shopping through amazon.freetalklive.com.
Yeah, and when you're at freetalklive.com, go check out the SACL CAI banner there. It's at the top of the row on the right-hand side. SACL CAI does not only collections, early out billing, and purchase charge-off receivables, but they can honestly do anything that has to do with mass telephone calls. They have the software and the hardware to make that happen for you, and go check them out. SACL CAI.
All right, so 800-259-9231. Would like to invite you to comment. Maybe we haven't touched all the bases on this issue, on the issue of stolen property and what is moral as far as how to deal with that situation. And Kurt, we had on the line earlier, seemed to be suggesting that if the stolen property was passed on by the thief, sold to another party who didn't know it was stolen, that person, that third party, still has an obligation to return that property to Kurt, to the original person from whom it was stolen. And that's really, I think, the crux of the issue of disagreement, with at
right.
least between us
yeah.
on the show and
Kurt.
Where
does the responsibility lie?
Yeah, and I don't think in, you know, the world that we live in today, I don't think people, if you approach them and said, hey, that's my stolen property, and, you know, I'm offering a reward for it or whatever, let's work together to find that guy, but it means a lot to me and I'd like it back. I think most people in this world would probably see to it that, you know, you got your beloved property back.
They want the incentive is what it's yeah. mostly about. I mean, some people are going to be more flexible and some are going to be less. But, you know, if they bought a watch for $1,000 and you're offering them $5,000 for it, you know, suddenly the morality is out of the picture. And it's like, wow, I could make $4,000 on this deal. And, you know, so that's where it all comes into. It's the incentives. And I believe that the people that are responsible for you know, getting the property. Well, the responsibility lies in the hands of the thief. But if you go to an arbiter, you find the thief later and say, hey, this guy stole my watch. I had to pay $5,000 to get this watch back. I want my $5,000 and I want, you know, another grand for my time and trouble in all this stuff. And I believe this guy is responsible for doing that. Then that thief should have to pay $6,000. And honestly, I don't care if that thief has to indenture himself to some company that does that kind of thing in order to get $6,000 out mm-hmm. of it by turning big rocks to little rocks or collecting garbage or whatever it is that company does, you know, going to some foreign country and washing dishes or do their gardening. I don't care. And I think that's the real difference in how prisons and indenture and things like that would work in the future. So, this situation actually happened to me. When I went to prison, and you know, that changes the scenario a little bit. I had a watch, and the watch was very distinctive, and it got stolen from me the first day I was there because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And
was it a calculator watch?
It was not.
Was there a shower scene involved?
No shower scene in this one. We had all of our soap came on ropes. just kidding. It absolutely did. So I find a guy with the watch. I'm like, hey, and, you know, you've got my watch. And he was very flexible about it. And, you know, he could have said anything he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, I paid $15 for this watch. I noticed that there wasn't any kind of markings on it. That's why I bought it, because, you know, I didn't want that. I didn't want to get somebody else's watch. And so, you know, if you pay me my $15, maybe he really paid $15, maybe he paid $10. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he said that he wanted $15 to get the watch back. Mm-hmm. I decided, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money right now. I did have some, but I would prefer the idea of spending on cigarettes and Zoom Zooms and Wham Whams from the
What are those?
You didn't really need to know what time it was in there, right?
Right. I didn't care about the watch for $15. Yeah. So I made a decision. If he would have said, okay, here's your watch back, I certainly would have taken it. Thank you very much. But I can totally see how somebody reacts in this scenario. I've been there. But, you know, I didn't think the watch was worth $15, which is less than half of what I paid for it originally.
And you didn't think he had an obligation to just give it back to you or make a deal with you, right?
Yeah.
So 1-800-259.
He did, by the way, make a deal. I don't know what his obligation was. He was probably a 300-pound dude. It was very, very large and had no, you know, in the real world application of prison, had no reason to make a deal with me. Do you understand?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Did you find out who the thief was in that case? Did he reveal to you?
No, he didn't. You know, and
maybe he was the thief, right? Is that a possibility?
It didn't. Why would a thief steal it and then want $15?
To make $15?
It just didn't seem likely to me. I think it's much more likely that thieves live close to you. You know, that's generally how it goes. They can case the joint, mm-hmm. stuff like that. This guy did not live close. He lived in another dormitory, you know, around the way. It seemed unlikely to me.
I see where you're coming from. So the toll-free number here, if you want to input on this conversation, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. But I think it's very interesting, you know, to look at the different ways this could be handled if we had a free market in justice, if you had these private arbitrators that people would be going to instead of the one-size-fits-all government monopoly system. I mean, if you want to talk about getting screwed, then the victim really is getting screwed, because then the government is stealing money from the victim who had their watch stolen from in order to supposedly find the person's watch in the first place and then allegedly bring the thief to justice. You're paying to bring that thief to justice. If they put him in a jail cell, you're paying to house that guy in a jail cell.
Right.
The current system is so backwards.
Yeah, that's why when I had my laptop stolen, I refused to call the cops in that situation, because how would they help? Like, if I actually got a hold of the guy who took my stuff, like, they'd put him in jail. That's no help to me whatsoever.
You know, and also this my story with the watch kind of brings up the criteria that that one that I have responsibility for. The watch wasn't on my wrist when it got stolen. It was sitting in a prison cell, but likely unlocked, as I recall. So somebody came in, took the watch, left. So they stole it, no doubt, but I didn't do a very good job of securing it either. I didn't have my name engraved on the back. I didn't have all kinds of things I could have done in order to prevent this scenario.
Right, and so it's possessor beware.
It I'm not saying that that there's no such thing as stealing, and I'm not saying stealing is okay. But and I think when somebody agrees to buy something they know is stolen, they're committing fraud, because in that case you're exchanging money for something someone doesn't actually possess. I don't believe the thief is the owner of the item. I just think that somebody who's exchanged money that they've worked for has become the owner of an item.
Yep.
So if I, if my watch gets stolen from me and you know the guy stole it and you're willing to pay a small amount
for it. That makes me a scumbag.
Yeah, that makes you, as far as I'm concerned, an accessory to that crime.
Absolutely.
You're
absolutely
enabling that, and you're fraudulently purchasing it because you know that he isn't actually the owner. And this is a system that not only is moral, but it works. And it can be applied, and it's not this kind of, the person who owns something's always the owner, because if the person's always the owner, then their heirs are always the owner. And in that case, you're talking about all the injustices of the world are weighed upon everything that exists today. All the gold that exists today, bits of it are from gold that has been on the planet for thousands of years.
Sure.
Out being put into jewelry, into coins and things like that. You're talking about all kinds of things that were possessed by other people at some point. You don't know how much of the steel that's used to create your laptop was in a car that was stolen, and just all kinds of crazy stuff. You do your due diligence, you buy things from people, sometimes you make deals that are person to person, but I don't think that somehow obligates you to make good on somebody who had something stolen.
There'd be different ways to make yourself whole, as you would, for instance, have an insurance company that could restitute you right out the gate, and then they would, by right of subrogation, go after the actual thief, and then the thief would have to then pay the insurance company. And then if the insurance company was somehow able to retrieve your stolen property, they could contact you and say, look, we found this. You can have it back, but you're going to have to cut us a check,
So we found your stuff, and with that $5,000 we gave you for it, we're going to take that out of your premiums or whatever, and here's your watch back. We found you are made whole. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Right, and of course you would still get some sort of compensation for your time and the lost property and the anguish that it caused you and things like that. You can bring in arbitrators as well, and others. I think there are a lot of options that open up when you have the free marketplace. But the person who's receiving that property doesn't have an obligation to return it to you. I'm sorry. 800-259-9231. Hour 2's up next. You take control. Free Talk Live.
In the decades to come, hardy adventurers will colonize the solar system, rediscovering freedom and finding vast new wealth. But the government of Earth will seek to extend its power and claim that wealth as its own any way it can. Escape from Terra, Volume 1, the first trade paperback collection of the popular adventure webcomic series, is available now for $12.95 from Big Head Press at BigHeadPress.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.